Well, I should share a couple of things before I really get rolling here. One is, I had this really odd dream the other night. I was here to preach, but I couldn't keep track of my notes. And then I was preaching on a city bus, and my notes were distributed among the passengers, and they kept handing me the wrong page. I think I'm a little concerned, but we'll get through this. The passage today is from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, we ask that your Spirit will open our hearts, that we will rest in you, that we will know your love, and be able to share that with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had another aside, and this was the week that I've had. So last Thursday, I knew I was going to be preaching today and next Sunday, and everything was all in line, and I was going along fine, and this was the passage that was brought to mind for me to preach on. On Friday, I found out that my son was in jail, and that then he got out on, I think it was Monday. And in that meantime, we made several trips to the jail trying to get visitation rights so we could see how he was doing, what was happening. And then he came to spend some nights with us. And I was up till, almost midnight on Tuesday. For Aaron, that is like staying up till 3 a.m. in the morning for most people. And then the rest of the week just seemed to keep going in that direction. Rest was not something I got to have very much of. So it seems like I have to be careful what topics God chooses for me to preach on, because I get to experience it at the same time. Okay, this passage is a passage of poetry. There are very poetic elements in this passage. And I found actually a gentleman from 1905, the poet laureate of Oregon, who wrote about Jesus as a poet. And he was very eloquent, and this is from the introduction to his essay. Earth gives us hints and rumors of divine beauty that broods above us, and ideal splendor that completes the real. To express that beauty is the perpetual aspiration of the poet. Poetry expresses that beauty in words, religion in deeds. So Jesus, as the supreme religious genius of the world, carried that vision of the poet. Our passage today should be read as poetry, having depth and meaning that most prose cannot convey to us. These words of Jesus were spoken before Matthew moves on to the story of the disciples harvesting grain on a Sabbath, going through a field and grinding some grain in their hands and eating it, and then getting the Pharisees mad at them. So Jesus, this passage is often seen as a critique of the Pharisees, that the burdens that these people were carrying were the burdens of the Pharisaic laws and rules that a common man could not keep. But this passage also can go deeper than that. Another interpretation of that passage, of this passage, has been that this is the Christian life, that Jesus bids us come, and once we accept that, we find rest. And then, after finding that rest, we take the yoke of Christianity, the burden of Jesus with us, and we find a different, further, more fulfilling rest. And I want to say that this even can go farther, deeper, that even in today, as Christians, I'm celebrating my 50th anniversary of being a Christian this year, as near as my math can solve, or it's 40, it depends on whether you're talking to my wife or me. But the meaning is that we can find rest and peace in Christ throughout our lives as we live and rest in God. These verses emphasize Jesus' personal call. Seven times, Jesus in this passage says, I, or me, or my. He comes in the call. It is spoken not as a command, but as an entreaty. Like we would call a wayward animal or a small child. The beckoning, not a command. Don't come, it's come. You're invited, the door is open. And this was a familiar theme throughout the Gospels. Remember in Matthew 4:19, Jesus comes to the disciples while they were still fishermen and says, "Come, I will make you fishers of men." In Matthew 19:14, he says, "Come, let the children come to me." Jesus is the one who's calling, and he's calling those who are weary and burdened. From those who are weary toil and work, burdened by the cares and concern of life. To resolve the poetic tension in this passage sometimes, people resolve it by saying that this burden is simply the burden of the Pharisees, and that's a legitimate interpretation of this passage. But the Greek words go deeper than that. There are two different Greek words. One means kind of the toil and labor of work, and the other means the catastrophes of life, the things that come unexpected, unbidden, like your son getting arrested. And who has not had those experiences? Who has not reached the end of a work day and go, "Boy, I am really tired. I'm 66 now. Really tired does describe the end of my work day." And who among us has led such a charmed life that we haven't had the burdens of life? The death of a loved one, financial stress, illness, concern for family or friends that have weighed us down. And Jesus' commitment here is that if we come, he will give us rest. The word translated rest here could be also translated refreshed or relieved. It's not necessarily the removal of the weariness, but it's a chance to become re-energized, to move forward again, not to be stuck in that tiredness, not to be stuck in that tragedy or that circumstance. That's how Jesus will help us bear the burden. In the next verse, Jesus gives us another request. As in Hebrew poetry, this is a parallelism. So he says it one way, and then he sends it another way, and together comes out the fullness. For example, Psalms 1, verses 3 and 4. "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." There at the end was the parallelism. What is man that you're concerned? What are human beings that you care? And in this passage, Jesus is giving us a parallelism. He's saying, "Call, come to me." And he's also saying, "Take my yoke." And those two need to be moved together and used together to get the full meaning of this passage. The yoke was a symbol that the disciples would understand. It was a tool of agriculture. Animals or men would use yokes. They would sit on their shoulders, either a U-shaped thing that sits on an animal's shoulder so that they can pull carts and plows, or men, a yoke would be a thing that would sit on their shoulders so they carry water or heavy burdens. And so the disciples knew what a yoke was. And when Jesus makes reference to this, they knew that, okay, this goes along with the burden sharing. Often this verse is interpreted as a double yoke, so a yoke with two places for two animals, so that the older, more experienced animal could help the younger, less experienced animal learn the ropes of how to act in a yoke. But the passage doesn't really require that of us. What this passage requires of us is to realize that Jesus saying, "Take my yoke," is take my leadership, take my authority. And then, again, we come back and it says that we can find rest. Yoke is often in the New Testament used to talk about the yoke of the law of Moses. So that one interpretation of this passage has some validity. Acts 15:10, Galatians 5:1. The yoke of the law of Moses is seen as too difficult to bear. But in these verses, the yoke is the same as answering the call of Jesus. The answer of the call is to learn from Jesus. For me, the root of that word learn is also the root of the word disciple. So when Jesus is calling us to take his yoke, he's calling us to be his disciples, to follow him, to make him the master. And he gives us a reason for that in this passage. He says, "For I am humble and gentle in heart." One of the fun things about doing the sermon this week is I got to read lots of other people's sermonizing on this. You can do it on the internet now. It's a wonderful resource. I searched sermons, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and I got this wonderful sermon by Charles Spurgeon. And in the sermon, he is talking about Jesus motivating us. What kind of master would Jesus be for us? When you look at Jesus Christ, whose whole being is love, gentleness, meekness, lowliness, oh, there are some of us who feel that his shoelaces we are not worthy to unloose. We would count it heaven to be permitted to kiss his feet or wash them with our tears, for he is such a glorious one that his beauty attracts us to him. He holds us spellbound by his wondrous character, and we count it not slavery, but perfect liberty to wear his yoke and carry his cross. That's a little flowery than I can get, but I agree with him. Jesus is a good master to serve. If you've ever had a bad employer and then a good employer, you know the difference. You know how much easier it is to work for the one who understands your situation and is able to work with you to relieve the burden of your work if that's necessary. The only place where Jesus himself tells us that this is the only passage where Jesus himself says, this is my heart. This is the center of my being. But Paul also gives us this description in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. That Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on a cross. So by submitting to Jesus, by taking his yoke, by answering his call to come, we will find rest for our souls. A relationship with Jesus is two-way. We come, we find. He calls, he gives, he teaches. This abiding in Jesus is echoed throughout the New Testament, especially in the Gospel of John. In John 10:9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, will have the light of life. Jesus wants us to have full lives as we follow him. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's a slight problem when you hear that, at least for me, when I hear Jesus say his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Given the week that I've just had, I have questions for God. In Luke 9, 23 and 24, Jesus tells his disciples, you're going to have trouble. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Again, in Matthew 10, verses 16 through 18. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. So how does Jesus make our burden light when he also tells us that we will suffer in this life? Persecution, rejection. It's not an easy answer, but that's what poetry does for us. It gives us these quandaries to ponder and to solve. And as the hymns we were singing this morning tell us, that when we have the love of God, when we dwell in that love, regardless of the sea billows that roll over us or the troubles or problems of this life, we know that God is loving and that God cares for us. I think that we can find this from the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." The fourth verse goes like this: "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." So in Matthew 11:28-30, we find that several different interpretations we can apply to our lives. But I would like us to talk about Christ as our present teacher, as our present help in a time of trouble. That when we have troubles in this world, that we know Jesus has overcome the world. When we come to him, we find restoration. When we come to him, we find a master who is meek and humble, who shares our burdens as we learn from him. And the burdens become lighter or easier to bear. So in this open worship time, if you found a time when Jesus has brought restoration to your life, could you share that with us? Share with us how Jesus has worked in your life to lift the burdens and cares of life. Share with us, what do you do to learn from Jesus? How does this bring you rest?